All right, let's go ahead and ask God's blessing here. Lord, thank you for each of these ladies that have come to learn from you. And Lord, we indeed want that to occur this morning. What comes from you is what will last. So I pray you'll give clarity and understanding as we take time in this subject. And would you give just clarity, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we talked about Romans chapter 6 and our identification with Christ. Went over that fairly quickly. We need to know the truth. We need to reckon it to be so. And then we need to yield to the Lord so that what is our inheritance becomes a reality. And that's very important. But now he sort of takes a step back in chapter 6. And it's entitled, Getting in Touch with Reality. The problem is that we as human beings live in a culture that is not in touch with reality, hardly at all. And we as believers, if we are affected by the culture and we are not walking in the Spirit, ourselves do not understand true reality like we should. And so the real world is the spiritual world. But we naturally don't think that. We sort of think of reality, of what we can sense, what we feel, things. It's sort of the scientific approach, you know, that we can quantify things because they're part of things we can touch and be a part of. But true reality is that which will last for eternity. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about. That which is eternal, not temporary, is what is really important. Your spirit will live somewhere forever. And what happens to you and through you that is from God is what is genuine reality. God is a what? Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and based upon truth. So genuine reality is the spiritual realm. And so when we come to areas of our life that we would like to see overcome, things that we would like to see become part of our life, we are so often prone to try to think of solutions based upon human reality rather than spiritual reality. And that's just the way we are. He gives an illustration of let's suppose that we went to the Amazon and found someone deep in the Amazon. There are still tribes there that really have had no contact with the Western world, civilized world. Not many left, but there still are some. And let's suppose that we take one of those men and we fly him to New York City, and we fly into Kennedy, take a taxi downtown, down to Times Square, and say goodbye to the guy. He's never been in contact with any civilization. Do you think he's going to feel very alien? How does he find his food? He has no clue that you go buy food at a grocery store or restaurant. How does he talk to people? Because nobody uses his dialect. What are all these things whizzing around? You know, and on you could go. You can imagine how terrifying that would be. And there'd be a lot of emotions. And he gives that as an illustration that the world just doesn't get it when it comes to spiritual things. It just is as alien as a native from the Amazon coming into Times Square. It really is. And for us as believers, we need to understand that spiritual truth naturally is counterintuitive and alien from our normal human thinking. What happens is, and I want you to get this, a lot of people that get into, after they're saved, into a Bible-believing church. Maybe they're not that serious about growing and learning. They might memorize a couple of verses. They might have token reading of their Bible. They come sporadically to church, but they are not living with a renewed mind being transformed by the Spirit of God. They are not having victory over the flesh because they don't even understand the battle. So they are still living in the human, physical, material realm, not living in the spiritual realm. And what's tragic is many Christians know about God. They're thrilled that they're saved. They have a sense of spirituality. They get moved by messages. But their everyday life, day after day, is still, when it comes to spiritual reality, it's alien reality. It isn't something that is personal and real to them, though they actually are saved. And there are elements of truth they understand. There is some parts of spiritual reality that they know, but they are just looking at life from a Christianized worldview, but not a genuine relationship worldview. Are you following me on this? Now let me just make it right down to home. Every one of us do it at times in our life. Have you ever thought about how one day you think very differently than another day? It all depends upon where you are in a genuine spiritual reality. When we get deeply discouraged, when we feel defeated, when we find ourselves not evaluating things properly, well, the spiritual is somewhat alien to us at that point. We're thinking on the natural material realm with Christian perspectives, but not spiritual empowerment. And then there's other times when the Spirit of God's working and truth is real. Oh man, everything comes together. You see, oh my, I was thinking wrong there. God's going to deliver here. God's going to work. Here's the wisdom that I need. And you just all of a sudden just get free. And now there's that renewed mind that is functioning, and you are now in tune with reality. The world is not reality. It is the illusion of Satan. He wants to be the God. He wants to have us trust him. He gives the false ideas of what really satisfies in life. It is totally a lie. It is an illusion. The world, of course, has to follow Satan because they don't know God. But Christians who are not living in the spiritual realm fall into some of the same traps. And that's really the thrust of what he's trying to say here. Now, when we look at a book like this book, changed into his image, we are looking so often at how do I solve my problems? And of course, we ought to have our issues dealt with. We want to please God and all by having solutions to our problems. But let me just say this, that the Christian life is not foremost about what God can do for you. It is about us glorifying God. And that is a very different perspective on life. You know, it's so easy. We look for the principles that will work. But that is almost a human perspective, folks. People are looking for self-help books. They're looking, they'll go to bookstores trying to find how to be great in this area or how to live forever and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And you can, now it's online, you're looking at all this stuff. By the way, be careful. Google is not necessarily the truth. Okay. And let me also say, folks, be very, and I'm getting off track here, but be very careful about the vast the development of AI now that has come, you know, with just even an app. I would not play around with that. Prince of the power of the air. It's amazing. They can't quite figure out. A paper was written recently. The head of Google said they noticed that, what's that chat, whatever it is, wrote a paper and translated some language that they were, it was not programmed to translate, and then cited two false, made up two fictitious sources for this research paper. Well, there's something spiritual beyond the programmed. You know, and as I look at the beast of Revelation, you know, it is an image. And then it comes alive. Again, I don't want to get off on things, but every time you get into these, there are just clear satanic potential in some of these areas. And of course, we're going to have to deal with AI from the standpoint that that's going to be totally forbidden for students, or you'll have no education. Even Google, you know, has taken away the need to go find books and get answers. And by the way, a lot of the answers are not correct. That's one of the things that bugs the medical sources. Now, on the some side, we need what conservative voices say about the medical, so I don't want to overstate it. But so many things, so we try to self-diagnose ourselves and put ourselves in real problems because there's all kind of opinions. And so we need to be careful in all of that. But getting back to what we're talking about here, our life and answers must come from the Lord. And though we want to get help in our life, the first and foremost thing that is important is to realize what reality is. Reality is God. Reality is that you're a spiritual being. Reality is that God created you for God. That life only works when you are in union with God. The marriage relationship was made just so that there could be an understanding of intimate relationship. Both the marriage relationship and having children, all of that gives an understanding of that deeper kind of relationship from a human level. And of course, it can be very spiritual and very unified. And that's a picture of the deep relationship that God wants with us. And folks, the only way we can navigate to solutions to the issues of our life is to start with what is reality. And to start with the fact that our relationship with God, based upon what the Word of God says about Him, is the central aspect of our life. If we start with problem solving, we're going to get back to the typical solve my problem and begin to mix the world's ideas with spiritual ideas. Have you noticed that a lot of the modern ministries today, it's all self-help? And some of it's good, but a lot of it is based upon human psychology and so forth. But boy, people come to that because they want something that makes it better for them. So his main point is that our walk with God is more than relief from problems. Our walk with God is what life is all about. And when we have an intimate relationship with God, then other things fall into place. And that needs to be at the very core. In other words, let me just say it this way. Every day you ought to finish the day having known that for a good part of the day, you had a spiritual perspective, you were aware of God, you spent time with Him, and you know that God continually overcame the natural fleshly thinking, and you realized you thought you were praising the Lord, you thought you had His wisdom, you were thinking right. That's that sober thinking, that watchful thinking. It's that the walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. It is a spiritual mindset. And when a Christian puts foremost the spiritual relationship with the Lord, their Christian life doesn't go like this. It's a steady move forward even through the difficult times of life. The Lord Jesus made that very clear to Mary and Martha. Was it wrong that Martha was working hard to provide the dinner and all? No, they needed to eat. But she rebuked Mary because she wanted help from her sister. And what was Mary doing? She was learning at the feet of Jesus and knew that the relationship with him spiritually was the essence of life. And so the Lord made it very clear. He wasn't rebuking hard work and responsibility in the home. What he was saying is, let's keep the priority right, and Mary has chosen the best thing. And that, I think it's a very good picture of how, think of how many days we go through the days and we may have checked off a task list and done all kinds of stuff, and then we feel sort of drained, we feel sort of empty, and it's because we didn't do the main thing. Might have been a bunch of good things, but we weren't really in the spiritual plane. If you're not in touch with reality, you're existing. Let me say that again. If you're not in touch with spiritual reality, and that's the only reality there is, you're just existing, and people that exist are targets for Satan. He will pull you down because you don't have a defense against the world's thinking. You know, it's amazing. If you're just existing and then you hear something that's not really true, you can start considering it. That's the danger of blogs today and the danger of all the information that's thrown at us. But if you are walking in the Spirit and rejoicing in your relationship with Him and are spending time in the Word as it, the God's illuminating it, you hear the very same thing and you say, that's not right. That's totally out of balance. Not even going to consider that. You don't even, and you realize that's not true. It's amazing to me how Christians only saved for 1 month walking with the Lord have more discernment than Christians saved 30 years but are clearly not walking in spiritual reality, because they're thinking right. Now, they have a lot of maturity to gain. They've got a lot of knowledge to get, but I have new Christians come to me and say, you know, I have this book, but it just doesn't seem right, Pastor. Can you check it? And I can a lot of times just look at it and say, You've got discernment. This is the problem. This is the problem. Oh, I thought so. I didn't even know how to articulate it, but I just felt that. And I said, yeah, that's because of your walk with the Lord. You're taking seriously your time with Him, and God's protecting you. And many times we will disciple new Christians, and they'll have things thrown at them, and they have this uneasiness about what's being thrown at them from other people. And then the discipler can take them to the Word of God, and because they're walking in the Spirit, God can protect them from the evil one. But it's a tragedy when a Christian who's been saved for a while is having troubles but is thinking naturally instead of supernaturally. And so his point is, it's about knowing God and glorifying God. It's not about just solving our problems. Christianity isn't just a nice cure for us. It is the cure, but it is a person. It is the Lord Himself, and the spiritual realm is what is important. Now, most of you, if I were to ask you, as I said here, are you on speaking terms with God? You would hope that you are. But that's really the big deal, because you cannot be helped in your life in any area of understanding truth and understanding the solutions to the issues that are holding you back if you are not walking in the light of truth, if you are not transparent before God and open before Him. Now, let me just say, can you have an intimate relationship with someone and at the same time have done things against them or against what they have wanted, and they know it, you know it, they know it? Are you going to have a real close relationship? No. What's it going to take? Open communication, saying, I did wrong here. I said that about you. I shouldn't have done that. Like with a child with a parent, I disobeyed you. I confess that, and I want to get that right. There cannot be an intimate relationship until you are on speaking terms completely with the Lord. And so what happens is Christians want problems solved in their lives, but they don't realize they're not on speaking terms with God because there are other issues that they're not willing to deal with. And so here you are not walking with God, hoping that some biblical principle will help you, and God's gracious. But the point he's making here is everything starts with the spiritual. It starts with knowing reality. It starts with knowing the Lord in a very deep and intimate and biblical way. And just a marriage is a good picture, or any relationship. There has to be total trust. There has to be an openness. Obviously, no marriage is perfect, and no Christian is going to be perfect, but God wants us to be valuing Him and what He has said more than anything else, so we are willing to confess and get things right so that we can have that close talk with Him. And many times when I'm trying to help someone on an issue, we have to start back at what's keeping you right now from walking in power. It's some other issues, things that you haven't settled, things that are more obvious. And if you don't deal with bitterness over here, you're not going to get rid of this habit over here. If you don't get that right with this person over here, you're not going to solve this addiction over here. You know, it's the big issue is not just what you do over here. It's the fact that you get back to walking with God and spiritual truth is exploding in your mind and you have that confidence in Him because He's real. In other words, reality. You're living with that keen sense of spiritual reality. And so we need to know God this way. And it's very, very important. It's just to think that the creature can have a relationship with the Creator. And we know that from the very beginning of the Old Testament. Abraham was called the friend of God. Moses spoke with Jehovah God face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. David was a man after God's own heart. And that's Old Testament. You come to the New Testament with the great privilege we have of the completed revelation and the indwelling of the Spirit. We can have a tremendous walk with Him. And so you can tell when people, when a married couple or other folks just really do have a good relationship. There's just a freedom. You can just see they care about each other. They're able to talk things through. It's just obvious. And then you can tell when there's strain. And it's the same thing with us and the Lord. He's really emphasizing here, you got to get the strain gone. You got to be honest with God. It's not worth it. You're not going to be able to move forward into being changed into His image and seeing God rescue you from other issues if you cannot be honest with Him about some of the little stuff in your life that just needs to be dealt with. Now, you need to have a desire for God. Next week, we're going to look at seeking God, which is really the thrust of where we're going in this chapter. This is being split into two. But did you know that God will give a desire for Him? Humanly speaking, can we really love someone totally? And the answer is no. Even the best of love from a human standpoint still has some selfish motivations. But true agape love is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. As I've said very much recently, you can't pray without the Holy Spirit's power. We don't know the mind of God. We don't understand as we should. We won't have the strength to keep on praying. We cannot witness without the power of God. We can't do anything without the power of God. And this matter of knowing the Lord, there's not a natural desire in the flesh to know God. The flesh pushes back on God. Have you noticed how one day you're just thrilled about thinking about the Lord and another day you're sort of, eh? Well, that's the flesh versus the Spirit. The Spirit will give you that deep desire because once you're saved, you are spiritually alive, you're part of the family, just like a child has a love for his parents. There is a natural, supernatural desire. And the Spirit of God will give you a desire in your heart. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 42, as the heart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And so there is a desire that God will put in your heart. And let me just end here today. I want to encourage you to know reality. I mean, to know spiritual reality. You ought to just say, there's nothing more important. Lord, give me that desire for you. Give me spiritual eyes to see. That's what Paul prayed, Ephesians chapter 1. Open my understanding. Lord, I can't do it. I don't want to live in the here and now in the human sense and just live on the basis of human observation. I want to get out of that human trap. I am saved. I'm a child of God. The Spirit of God is more powerful than that. And Lord, there is a natural desire in every believer for God. Would you just flame the fire in my soul for that? And that's a legitimate prayer. Lord, free me from a fleshly outlook that is overpowered by the world. And Lord, give me that spiritual perspective that I know you and my problems will fall into place if I really know you. So next week, we'll really get to the capstone of this chapter as we look at, well, how do we seek God? But start with that desire. You can't work up the desire. You know, you see people working up, trying to work up a religious experience. Don't do that. Be still and know that I'm God. And I'm telling you, if you open your heart to the Lord, the Spirit of God will give you a deep desire to know Him. He really will. And it'll be something that you know is not of you, it's of God. But you've got to make provision to seek Him, and that's what we'll look at. So let's just talk about what is reality, and how do we fall off and into the trap here of just the here and now. So many believers know truth, but they are not on speaking terms with God. It isn't the main thing that they live for, and then they get trapped by their circumstances and react very much in a human way, and we don't need to do that. Every day, genuine spirituality can dominate. So he's really getting now into how do we really solve the problems of our life. And so we'll get started on that. All right. We'll see you next week then.